Are you afraid of Ebola, hunger or poverty, the future, strangers, the police or bullies, the dark, dogs or peer pressure, of looking stupid, your boss or failing school, of anything but God? Welcome to humanity. According to the prophetic book of Revelation, the call to fear God is mankind's last hope, the very first message of the everlasting gospel. The fear of God is the antidote for all human fear, the basis of atonement, our becoming one with the God of love. Join James as he shares our free message of the month, the philosophy of fear.
Let's pray together as we begin. Father in heaven, again, I just want to lift up my heart to you and the heart of each one in this congregation. I want to pray that you will guide our minds and our thoughts as we move through your word, as we study this subject of fear, the philosophy of fear, what it means, and how you want to deliver us from it. Speak to us clearly, succinctly, and powerfully through your word, we pray. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a young man, I was afraid to take the garbage out. That was my job. And I didn't mind doing it in the wintertime, but in the summertime, to take the garbage out meant to go to the garbage cans where there were bees and wasps buzzing around, going in and out of the garbage lids, and to lift out that lid, having all those bees and wasps come flying out, you know, and going everywhere, and to throw that sack in and then put the lid back on and get back out of there and back up to the house without getting stung. I was so scared. There were other things I was scared of. I didn't like spiders all that much. My grandmother used to find spiders in the house, and she would gently grab a hold of them, give them a gigantic kiss, and throw them out the window. She would save the spiders' lives. She was the spider saver in our house. She believed that spiders were good. They probably are in their place, which isn't in the house. I was afraid of being bullied when I was a kid. I have a twin sister, and from about sixth grade to about ninth grade, my twin sister was taller than me. I was a little guy, and I remember particularly in eighth grade finding a different route home after school every single day, because there were a lot of people in my school that liked to pick on little guys just because it was fun to pick on little guys, and I got bullied quite a bit in eighth grade. Our message today is called The Philosophy of Fear. Now, we all probably know what fear is. We've all experienced fear. But what is philosophy? We all have a philosophy of life, we say. Well, the word philosophy is defined as the study of general and fundamental problems, such as those that are connected with reality, with existence, with knowledge, with values, with reason, with our minds, with languages. So the philosophy of fear is the study of the general fundamental problem in life known as fear. We're going to study fear from the Bible. Now, I noticed that when I got stung, finally, by a wasp, my fear was gone. Oh, that's what it's like to get stung. Ah, no big deal. Why was I so terrified of getting stung? I remember when I got beat up in karate class week after week after week after week, that my fear of getting beat up, being bullied, dissipated. Oh, no big deal. That's life. That's the way it goes. I think that often we are afraid of things because we don't experience them, and therefore we're afraid of the unknown. You remember that famous saying by Franklin Roosevelt in his inaugural address in the year of the Great Depression? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. So I developed a philosophy that went something like that. I don't need to be afraid of anything. I just need to experience it and I can overcome it. I'm naturally afraid of heights. And I remember when I was in Colorado, they invited me to go scaling, to go rock climbing and scaling. And I was, as soon as I got up to that height and looked down, I got dizzy and lightheaded. And they said, come on down. And I said, not me. What's wrong? I'm afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of heights. I just, funny things happen when I get in high places. My head just starts spinning. And they said, all you need to do is wait. Just wait. And I did. For 5 minutes. And then 10 minutes. And then 15 minutes. And then 20 minutes. And sure enough, it all went away. And I was fine. And down that cliff I went. The fear was gone. Yet, that doesn't help me with other fears. Fears that I have not personally experienced. Fear is a huge negative in my life. So, how do we defend ourselves from fear? Do we use wasp spray for wasps? Pepper spray for bullies? Martial arts, guns, walls, barriers, separation, preparation? How do we tackle, how do we face our fears in life? How do we deal with fear? We have many ways of dealing with or coping with our fears, but there's only one way that we can actually defeat our fears. Nebuchadnezzar dealt with his fear by making an image all of gold. Why did he make an image all of gold? Well, because the image that God revealed to him of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom was going to what? Come to an end. What was he afraid of? His kingdom was going to come to an end. Didn't like that idea very much. His kingdom was the golden kingdom. So what he decided to do in order to face his fear of coming to an end was to change the image that God has given him into an image that was all of gold. Now my kingdom won't come to an end. Just got to make sure that everyone in my kingdom worships that image of gold. And to make sure they worship the image of gold, I'm going to tell them if they don't, they're going to get very, very hot. So all the people, when the music sounded, they all worshiped the image of gold. Nebuchadnezzar had made it because he was afraid of his kingdom coming to an end. And all the people worshiped it because they were afraid of going into the fiery furnace. There was just one problem with that whole situation. You remember what it was? Well, maybe there were three problems. There they stood, refusing to worship the image of gold. Why? Why didn't they bow? Because they had no fear. They had no fear. Well, we can't really say they didn't have any fear. They had one, and that was the fear of God. And it was the fear of God that caused these three young men to completely overcome the fears of the people and the fear of Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar was so overwhelmed by this experience that he got very, very angry. Because those three young men had something that he didn't have. Something that he wanted. Something that was missing in his life. This entire world is filled with fear of anything and everything from A to Z. And God wants to give us something they don't have. Something that can cause us to overcome all fear. Something that we can share with them. Nebuchadnezzar eventually embraced their fear. And in chapter 4, he said, you know, God sets up kingdoms and he takes down kingdoms. Praise God. He wasn't afraid anymore of his kingdom coming to an end. Are you afraid of this earth coming to an end? Are you afraid of the end of time? Are you afraid of the changes that are taking place and will take place on planet earth before all of this ends with the second coming of Christ? God wants to take away all that fear. Everything that is connected with that type of fear, God wants to end it. And he can only do that through a revelation of himself and of his great love. One of my great fears, especially as I grew older, was the fear of public speaking. My mom, M-U-M, I was raised in England and she is full Irish, was an English teacher. And I got straight A's in English, no problem. Because at home, my mother was always correcting me. Some of our young people can relate to that, and maybe some of us who are older. except when I got to speech class. Because in order to get an A in speech class, I had to stand up before people, maybe not as many people as are here today, and I had to give a speech. That was the most difficult thing I ever did, to get up before people and speak. Go figure. So the book of Proverbs, I believe, holds the key, the biblical narrative of the philosophy of fear. By definition, the study of the general and fundamental problem connected with being afraid. So what does the Bible, and specifically the book of Proverbs, have to say about all this fear? Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. This is the introduction to the book of Proverbs. This is the cumulative wisdom of Solomon as he lived life and experienced everything life had to offer, in the good and in the bad and in the ugly. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Doesn't sound all that sophisticated, does it? Pretty basic, pretty simple. What does it mean? You know, as a philosopher, Solomon, the son of David, was a master. He personified wisdom. He gave it arms and legs. He removed it and rescued it from the purely intellectual realm and made it practical and powerful. Solomon bridged that man-made gap that we often build between faith and philosophy. And he brought philosophy into faith. The beginning of knowledge was, to Solomon, the very practical task of reuniting us with the heart and mind of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Being connected with God is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I believe that Solomon, in this verse, is giving us the secret of the Christian experience. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. But what is the fear of the Lord? How does one experience the fear of the Lord? Why is it so important? How does it relate to all our other fears? Well, according to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, there are two kinds of fears in the Bible. Let's open to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20. Moses here has just come down from the mount, and God has given to the people the Ten Commandments. Moses' face is shining because he has this connection with God, this relationship with God. He and God are like this. Moses is the man who asked to see God, and God said, well, I can't show you my front, but I will show you my back. And as God revealed his character, he also wrote it out on tables of stone. He expressed himself to Moses, and through Moses, he expressed himself to us in the Ten Commandments, which are the basis of love. To love God with all the heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, Moses says unto the people, notice this, fear what? Not. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you what? Sin not. So this verse, Exodus 20 verse 20, actually outlines two types of fear. There's a fear that God doesn't want us to have. There's a fear that God wants to get rid of. There's a fear where he says, fear not, don't be afraid. And then there's another fear. There's a fear of God. There's a fear of the Lord. There's a his fear. He wants his fear to be in you. And when his fear is in you, you will sin not. So there are two types of fear. One fear leads us away from God. And the other fear leads us away from sin. Now, the fear that leads away from God is the fear that the people had. Do you remember? They said, Moses, we don't want to talk to God. You go talk to him and you tell us everything that he has to say to us. That's the kind of fear that we have naturally. That was the kind of fear that Adam and Eve had when they ate the fruit. They were hiding from God. Do you remember that? When God said, hey, where are you? They said, we were afraid. We heard your voice and we were afraid and we hid. That's the fear that comes naturally. That's the natural fear that we have of God and of everything else in life that we haven't experienced. And God wants to remove that fear and put His fear in our hearts. And His fear will cause us to be afraid of nothing but sin. Nothing but sin. And the more and more we have of His fear, the more we will fear being separated from God, which is what sin does. And Moses had this fear. He wanted to be connected with God all the time. And he couldn't understand. Don't you want to be connected also? But the people didn't have this fear. And so Moses had to introduce them to what God really was, who God really was, because they were afraid of Him. God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him in the negative, but He wants us to be filled with His fear, which is His love, His grace, His mercy, connected to God. We find this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 18. Powerful verses. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 and 18. You and I know that this popular slogan, no fear. You remember that? When that was very popular, it was on the back of bumpers and on our shirts, and no fear. The reason why we have no fear is because we're very much afraid. And to have no fear means you're different from everyone else. You're not afraid. But there's only one way that that fear can actually be cast out. 1 John chapter 4 says, verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is what? Love. Verse 18, therefore, there is no fear in love. But perfect love does what? Casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. See, this is not just a philosophy. According to the prophetic book of Revelation, the call to fear God is mankind's last best hope. Because friends, we haven't seen anything yet. When we look out in our world and we see all of this terrorism and Ebola, when we see poverty and strife, when we see war and natural disaster, economic strife and chaos, when we recognize what's taking place, the manipulation of the masses that is taking place right at the gas pump. Someone just sent me a tweet, because we're right here in Oregon, gas is $1.98, right? ARCO and Fred Meyer. Maybe it's gone down since then. That was a day ago. Back in Tennessee, gas is $1.29. There may be some of us sitting here who have never seen gas at $1.29. Now, I know there are some of us that have seen gas at $29.9. Right? A few hands go up. What is going on in our world? Friends, it is out of our control. And that's scary. That can bring us fear. And there's only one person who can decimate or destroy that fear, and that is God. God is the only one that can take care of our fears about the future and our fears about what's going on in the world and our fears about reality and our fears about our own experiences, our own personal inhibitions. God is the one that can deliver us from those fears. So according to the gospel, God has bridged the dark, deep chasm of our human fear with His prevailing love. Love, love, love has come in the person of Jesus Christ. He stepped into our sandals, literally in our human flesh. He's defeated our human fear. Perfect love, Jesus Christ, cast out all fear. Thank you. Praise God. So, notice this. This is Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. These were my verses when I first became a Christian. Because, yeah, I was into martial arts because I wanted to protect myself. I wanted to be a man. I was really afraid of getting beat up. So I wanted to be a man. Yeah, I was into all kinds of things. I had a gun. I had a lot of different ideas about destroying my fear. But the fear was still there. It was still there, lodged in my heart. It was still deep down inside, no matter what kind of preparation I made, no matter how bad I thought I was, no matter how much I pretended to be bravado and strong, the fear was still there. I couldn't remove that fear. And then I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I remember reading these verses. They were so powerful. For as much then as children are partakers, Hebrews 2:14, of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He did it. He absolutely destroyed fear. Because behind, in back of all of our fears, is death. And Jesus Christ faced that fear, the ultimate fear. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the ultimate fear behind all fears. So we're delivered from the bondage of fear. The remedy for every earthly fear we face is the fear of God. That's the remedy. And Satan knows that. So he's going to do everything he can to get you and keep you disconnected from God. And then all he has to do is just release the fears. Like angry dogs, vicious animals coming after us. That's all he has to do. But when we're connected with Jesus, nice doggy. What a good boy. And they just kind of whimper around our feet. There is no fear when we're connected with Jesus Christ. This is why in the Bible, the message to fear God comes to us most often in the words, fear not. Fear not. From the book of Genesis to the last book of Revelation, the call of love comes from the heart of God. It's repeated again and again and again. Let me share with you a few verses. You won't be able to follow me in your Bibles, but you can write these down if you're taking notes. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Fear not and do not tremble. Deuteronomy 20 verse 3. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Fear not. Joshua 10, 25. Nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. I am the Lord your God. Judges 6 verse 10. Fear not. I will help thee. Isaiah 41 verse 13. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke 2, verse 10. Fear not. I know that you seek Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 5. Fear not, Revelation 1, 17. I am the first and the last. Our fears are like a desolating wind. Our fears seek to destroy our relationship with God. That's what fear does. That's what death does. That is what disease does. That's what terrorism does. That's what economic sanctions do. That's what everything in this world is calculated to do that is produced by Satan, that had its origin in the enemy of souls. It's calculated to destroy our relationship with God and our trust in God. And it comes like a desolating scourge, a whirlwind. That's what it says in Proverbs 1, 27 through 29. These are significant verses in the first chapter of Proverbs. Listen to them closely because they contain a warning. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me and I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, 27 through 29 urges us to choose the fear of God before it's too late. It warns us that our natural fear will one day come as a desolating whirlwind. And when it does, God can't save us from it. If we persist in dealing with our fears in our own way, instead of giving them to God, He will finally be forced to honor our choice. So what are you afraid of? Don't hide it. Don't pretend. Don't act as though everything is okay. God knows your heart. He knows your need. Give it to Him. Share it with Him. Tell Him about it. Give Him permission to take care of it. Let go of your fears now. Refuse to spend time focusing on the very things that bring us fear, and start focusing on the only one who can destroy our fear. Give it to Him. Allow Him to deliver us from fear. Stop focusing on what you are afraid of and start focusing on the one who fears nothing but losing you. Are you struggling with a habit? Stop focusing on that habit. Stop making it such a big thing in your life. Stop making it the center. And keep your focus on Christ. And that habit will be gone as the love of Christ grows stronger and stronger in your heart. Jesus spent 33 years, living, eating, and breathing the fear of the Lord. That's what I like about this biblical philosophy of fear. Because it is, in reality, it's the finest in the land. It is for one significant reason. Because it works. It actually works. Jesus Christ was the personification of this fear of the Lord. And when you look at His life, it's amazing. I mean, think about it. No human fear ever touched Him. Whether in the wild, animal-infested wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, or whether He was dragged to the brow of a cliff with the threats to throw Him off by an angry mob. Day after day, He met sorrow, He met grief, He met loneliness, He met contempt. He was tested, He was proved, and He practiced Solomon's fear of the Lord philosophy, and He was victorious. During His last hours, He met the final test. He was accosted at midnight by an angry mob. He was forsaken by all of His disciples. He was taken from palace to palace, from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was denied 3 times by Peter. He was falsely accused in this mock trial. He was interrogated 7 times by 4 different bodies of religious and political rulers. The Desire of Ages, page 760, says it this way. Oh, fearful scene. The Savior seized at midnight in Gethsemane, dragged to and fro from palace to judgment hall, arraigned twice before the priests, twice before the Sanhedrin, twice before Pilate, and once before Herod. Christ was chosen over a murderer by the people He came to save. Fainting under the burden of the cross on His way to the crucifixion, the most excruciating torture known to human beings. Blood-soaked body was nailed to the cross naked in a public place like the Times Square of our day. He was weak, He was thirsty, He was mocked, He was scorned. And He finally died of a broken heart. And during this entire ordeal, Jesus Christ showed absolutely no fear of man whatsoever. Whoa. How did He do that? Love casts out all fear. For fear has torment. He was filled with the love of God. And there is nothing to fear in love except being forsaken by love. In Christ, the fear of being forsaken of God decimated every earthly fear. The only thing He feared was being separated from the Father. The only thing He feared was not having relationship with God, connection with God. That is the only thing that Satan fears we will have. It is the one thing that he is working to destroy in our lives, because he knows if we have connection with God and relationship with God, the one thing that Christ feared to break, feared to experience, Satan knows if we have that connection, all other fears are gone. One by one, they are destroyed, conquered, overcome. in my life, standing before you right now, is a living testimony of that fact. And I'm sure that each one of us have testimonies of that fact, that fear is removed by the love of God over and over and over again. So that in the end, there's a people who fear God. That's all they fear is God. Just like those three worthies. And Nebuchadnezzar's face, he was upset, wasn't he? I don't think you heard what I said. I said that if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Oh, we heard what you said, but we just don't have any, we don't have any fear about that. Our only fear, our only concern is that we would fail our God. We would separate from Him. And now, while our lives are on the line, is the very moment when we don't want to be separated from God. Because when we go through the fire, He's going to be with us. When we walk through the water, we won't be overwhelmed by it. And so Nebuchadnezzar got so angry. His face was contorted. His veins were popping out of his neck. And he said, "You heat that furnace 7 times hotter." And there was no fear. They were as calm as a cucumber, they say. That is the experience that Christ had when he stood before these people who were judging him and calling for his life to be crucified. He was calm. He was at peace. He was filled with the love of God and concern for others, for his disciples. For Peter, that he would be overwhelmed with the revelation of the fact that he had just denied his Lord 3 times. And so the look that he gave to Peter was a look of sympathy, a look of love, a look of concern, a desire to see him forgiven. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus came on planet Earth to decimate all our fears. He did this by having a relationship with God of unreserved connection and trust in his Father. Christ's love relationship with God led him to love us to the very end. He loved them to the end. And I would say to the end of all of our fears. All of our fears were manifest toward Christ. The fear of the mob caused the disciples to forsake him. The fear of the priests and the religious leaders and even Pilate caused them to crucify him. If he's a king, he's going to take our place. What's going to happen to our nation? All of these fears, Christ loved us through them and in spite of them. Jesus continued to love us no matter how we hurt him. He loved us unto the end. Let's close with this thought. In summary, perfect love casts out all fear. We are afraid to love God. First 4 commandments. What if we lose our job? What if our family thinks we're weird? We're in some kind of cult. I faced that fear. I was raised Catholic. We're afraid to love people. Last 6 commandments. What if they don't love us back? Jesus overcame these fears. He loved God with all his heart, mind, and soul, and he loved us to the end. And in doing this, he cast out all fear. This undying love of Jesus is the grace of God that delivers us from our earthly fears. The fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom.
The mission and passion of Lightbearers is publishing, training, and evangelism. To hear other messages like this, or to learn how you can partner with us, visit us online at lightbearers.org. You can also call us at 1-877-585-1111 or write to us at Lightbearers, 37457 Jasper Lowell Road, Jasper, Oregon, 97438. It is through your prayers and generosity that we are able to do what we do. Thanks for listening.